Did you know that humans are getting shorter? What does bacon and eggs have to do with the CIA successfully overthrowing the government of Guatemala? Which country has a life expectancy of only 14 years old? Learn the stories behind these and so much more in my new book, Facts That Aren't True. Link in the description. Is gouging your eyes out worse than going to hell?
What do you mean?
Is gouging your eyes out worse than going to hell?
No.
Right, so if you couldn't help but be lustful, but that's a sin and it's going to send you to hell, then you'd be better off having gouged out eyes, because there's nothing worse than going to hell.
Yes, but it's using a metaphor, which it's not meaning literally do this. It's delivering message.
Possibly, but the logic is still true that it actually would literally be better to gouge out your own eyes. I mean, I don't remember if it was Jesus or Paul, but one of them says, look, you're better off being a eunuch if you can't avoid, or not a eunuch, but you're better off just being completely celibate if you can't help but, you know, be lustful, because the world's going to end soon anyways. So there you go.
But if you look at somebody with lust, the point is to turn away from that.
Well, yeah, but he literally says if you can't help yourself, then you're better off gouging out your own eyes. And if it's to avoid going to hell, which is the worst possible thing, then yeah, you ought to. And like, you can debate if that's like actually what Jesus meant. I think modern Christianity has very, very little to do with what Jesus ever said or meant. It has almost everything to do with what Paul said. So, but we're not talking about evolution anymore, right? So, like with regard to the creation account or whatever, like if I'm fine with it, if you're willing to say that Genesis 1 is just not true, then do you think that life on the planet is billions of years old?
Yes.
Okay. So, I mean, if that's your take on it, then you would say that Genesis 1 isn't literally true. And so I'm like, okay, fine. But it's kind of weird how you have to retreat, and you have to retreat so far into that. So it's like, okay, well, did Adam and Eve ever exist then? Because if they didn't, I mean, evolution would tell us that they didn't exist, and that would mean that there was no original sin, and that would mean that there was no reason for Jesus to have ever even existed. So that becomes kind of a big problem.
I guess. But, I mean, I wouldn't say that necessarily in the beginning there was literally just two humans. I think that the point of it is to say, in the beginning, no sin. Man sinned. Sin entered the world.
Okay, so then, like, in your opinion, then, who were, like, you think Adam and Eve did exist?
They might. I mean, if you really think about it, it has to, if you go back far enough in your family tree, it has to go to two people, does it not?
No. It goes to I don't know. I mean, it goes back to two people. Well, that means the problem with that is if you look at your family tree, you mean if we look at everybody's family tree, it eventually goes back to two people?
They have to come from something.
Well, yeah, but if you look at your family tree, it goes back to two people. Yeah, your parents. That's obviously not far enough. But if we look at everybody, does it go back to two people? No, it doesn't go back to two. It doesn't go back to two people who copulated. It does go back to a woman and a man, but they lived at different times. and in different places on the earth.
But the point is, like, let's say you go back, your parents, all right, where did they come from? Your grandparents, where did they come from? Your great-grandparents. Eventually, if you keep going down that, okay, but where did these people come from? You don't think that eventually it will just narrow down to just a very small selection of people?
No, it can eventually get you to two people, but they would be two people among a population of people. Like the whole mitochondrial Eve and Y chromosome Adam, they weren't the first two humans. They're just the farthest back, well, not even far, like the farthest back, but at the same time, most recent human that everybody is a direct descendant of by virtue of their children's 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 children, so on and so forth.
Yeah. I guess, yeah.
Right. So, I mean, I don't know if there's we have different interpretations, like we have different takes or whatever, but I'm not sure if there's too much we disagree with. Like, you believe in evolution, right?
Yeah.
Okay. You don't necessarily believe in human evolution, or do you?
I do.
Okay. Well, I mean, then, like, I don't do atheist evangelism, so, like, if you think that way, then cool. Good enough for me.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know if it could have started with specifically two people, because if you keep reading the Bible, eventually when I think it was Cain, when he wanders off, he finds his wife, but they weren't related to Adam and Eve at all. He found his wife in the land of Nod. And all of his siblings were specifically mentioned in name, but his wife was never. So there might have been other people outside of where they lived.
Yeah, that's what some people say. Other people say that they were Nephilim, not really human. And, you know, whatever. Like it's cool that you believe this, but it's at the same time, what's really unfortunate is the overwhelmingly most influential Christian voices are completely against evolution of any kind, of the earth being, well, actually they do believe in a weird kind of evolution. But they're against evolution, especially human evolution. They are against the earth or the universe being billions of years old. You know, this is creation.com, Answers in Genesis. They are by far the most influential. And so, you know, your argument isn't even with me. It's with them and their interpretation of everything. But I was going to say something. I forgot what it was. Do you believe the flood happened?
I do, because, I mean, if you look all over, like, the world, like, if you go into the, if you look at the Sahara Desert, they do find whale skeletons there, and they find, erosion on the land in areas that really were never underwater. And I mean, what does it say about the fact that, like, every culture in history, they all have a story about a gigantic flood that, like, overcame everything?
I don't think every culture has those stories, but what the hell is that? Anyways, well, okay, do you believe that every single human except Noah's family died during the flood?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that? I couldn't hear you.
Do you think every human on the planet died except for Noah's family during the flood? And then same for the animal life?
I mean, maybe, because I'm gonna be honest, I wasn't there. I can't know for sure.
Oh, that's just so impossible is the problem. I mean, genetically, there isn't enough genetic material in one person's family to have allowed human beings to continue existing. We would have died of recessive alleles so long ago, recently into that. So this is a weird one where you're saying the creation account isn't literal and you believe in evolution, but then to adopt the flood narrative, you have to like you have to go to the same lengths that the people that doubt everything are saying. That's crazy. That's so loud. Are you, I can't hear you because you're, I don't know if you got a phone call or what the deal is, but if you're not here, I can't hear you.
I'm sorry, what?
What was the last thing you heard me say?
You were talking about the, taking Genesis literal, but then, like, the flood, not taking it.
Right, so if you right. don't... So if you don't- Is that echo? Can you do anything about that?
What?
I'm hearing my voice played back.
Oh, I don't know why at all.
Echo came out of nowhere. One, two, three. Okay, it's gone now. So it's just odd. Like you discount the creation narrative as being literal, in favor of the scientific secular account of how life on this planet arose and how the planet itself came to be what it is. But then you do take literal this flood story, which is just so it's just really ridiculous, and it scientifically falls apart for so many reasons. But also, like, if you can believe the flood, why not believe in Genesis 1?
I mean, I believe the flood, but like I've done research on it because like it'll keep me up at night, and it's like it's weird how like the whole world would have gotten flooded. And I've been to like a Catholic school where they talk about how like the flood, we know that Noah, he lived in the Middle East, and the world to him was only the Middle East. He had no knowledge of Africa, right.
They,
North America.
Yeah, they
South
say
America.
They say it was a local flood, yeah.
So it could have been in that region where the flood happened.
Yeah, I mean, they say that. I think the only reason they say that is because they are modern humans, and it's just completely, they just know that it's just too stupid to try to pass on the idea of a complete worldwide flood to modern humans. We're too, but it's not more believable than Genesis 1, it's not more believable than Genesis 1. It's not, even if you take Genesis 1 as a metaphor, it's not more or less believable than God magically creating the entire universe in the first place.
Yeah, I guess, yeah. But
and then you have to ask questions like, how the hell did kangaroos get onto the ark, and then how the hell did they get back to Australia after the flood happened?
I guess you could say, like, especially in the Bible, it said that he led all of the animals to him. Then when the flood was over, he might have led the animals back to where they came from. Or, like, if it was a regional flood, it was only the animals that lived in that region, not like penguins.
If it was regional, that's the only thing you're going to get away with. But I mean, because the other one, how did Noah have time to visit all the continents and lead the animals to his boat, especially when you can't walk to Australia or North or South America or Antarctica from where he lived?
I mean, if it was a worldwide flood, the Bible does say that the animals came to him. God led the animals to him, not he went all around the world and swept them up in his boat.
But still, I mean, how does a bison get from the plains of North America to wherever Noah was building the boat? I mean, there's nothing doing for that.
Yes, yeah. It's very weird.
It's quite weird, yeah.
I guess so. A lot of people they could say.
Holy shit!
They could say like divine intervention, maybe.
I mean, but that's just to preserve a literalist interpretation, which I think is just silly. Like, look, nobody believes that the Big Bad Wolf story, or not the Big Bad Wolf, the Little Red Riding Hood story is literally real. Nobody thinks that an actual talking wolf actually ate a grandmother and then put on her clothes and hid in her bed or did anything like that. Nobody thinks that that really happened, right? But there's a point to that story. I'm not sure what it is. Don't trust strangers if they are hairy. I'm not sure what the moral of the story actually is or whatever. And I just don't understand why people just can't be reasonable and see how this story is just too stupid to be true and not take the interpretation that it's meant to tell a story. Now, I think the story is just absolutely disgusting and horrible. I mean, killing every unborn baby for crimes or sins that they haven't committed. I don't know where the moral of that could possibly lie. Even if the story is fictional, it's a horrible story, but yeah.
Yeah. I mean, every time I hear like in the flood, the unborn babies, the babies that got swept away. I mean, it does say like God gave the people that Noah was with a couple hundred years to repent, and then it would have never happened. I mean, it's sad that
you're still punishing people for crimes they didn't commit. There's no excuse for that.
Yeah. I mean, the way that I've always looked at it is like I believe that Jesus existed. I believe in the New Testament. So I feel that like if the New Testament is true, anything in the Old Testament can be true.
I mean, yeah, but you don't think that about Genesis 1, and I think it's because you're blessed to live in the time in which we do, where we can know so much, but you're just too clever to think that that's true. But then you don't apply it equally. Well, we'll say consistently, I guess. Same difference, but.
Yes, yeah.
Because like some extremely intelligent people like Galileo, Galileo famously wrote that he absolutely believed everything in the Bible verbatim, literally, and it's because even the smartest people at that time didn't have the tools, the technology, the cumulative knowledge to be able to say naturalistically, here are the only things that actually make any remote sense, right? And he went against the common biblical narrative because people reasoned through the Bible that the earth is motionless because of what it says in, I don't remember if it's Joshua or Jacob or Samuel, which book it is, but there's this story that God stopped the sun moving for a day in the sky. And it's like, well, yeah, according to the Bible, it's the sun that's moving and nothing else. And so Galileo said, well, look, God's word is still infallible. If we find out through science that something in the Bible is false, all that really means is our interpretation of what it says is false. And I think that's dogmatic and kind of a dangerous way of thinking, but it's better than the alternative, I guess I would say.
Yeah.
Which is to say, if science demonstrates that something the Bible says is false, that means that the science is false, which is what the most influential and popular Christian thinkers, that is how they think, unfortunately.
Yeah. I mean, I've heard a lot of people that I like to talk to about with this type of stuff is like, there's some stuff that it could be like a translation issue, because if you read it in English, I mean, it it's a compared to other languages, it's a very like one-dimensional language. It's very simplified, whereas these other languages, they're very, very contextual. It relies heavily on the context to understand what's happening.
I mean, I don't have anything to say in response to that. Is ancient Hebrew more contextual than other languages? I don't know. I mean, that sounds like the kind of thing that people just say because they're doing apologetics. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, we're going to have to leave it there, I think.